Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
I can't believe I'm saying these words. Bring us in, babe.
Welcome to
Coco Caliente. Oh my gosh.
It's good to be back.
We're back on the podcast together.
Together.
You have no idea how lonely it was doing this podcast by myself.
I can only imagine.
Weird. Looking across the table to an empty seat with no microphone or anything, just a seat.
That seems lonely.
It was. And then I really didn't do the, like, welcome to Coco Caliente. Like, I did it, but if it was by myself, it wasn't the same. If I was by myself, I did it in the beginning. And if I had somebody with me, I'd forget about it and then do it at the end of the episode. And, like, I'd have them do it, but it wasn't quite right because they didn't, you know the cue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And now that's just, I mean, that's what we do to start the episode, to get the flow going, the flow joke.
It gets mojo. It gets the endorphins moving.
Yeah.
That good energy. So,
totally.
So you're back.
I'm back.
When did you leave?
I left July 21st.
Jeez. So how was that?
Was it July? Yeah, July 21st.
It had to be July 21st.
July 21st.
So what... Okay, so take me through your thought process, because we podcasted up to then, but you couldn't talk about the show.
Right.
Or anything. So what was going through your mind before you were leaving the show? Like, what were you thinking of? Because your mind was racing, like, all over the place.
I had a lot going on, because not only was I going back on All Stars for Big Brother season 22, I also was trying to plan a wedding in a pandemic. And a destination wedding at that.
Uh-huh.
And then... trying to get in shape, trying to get in shape a little bit as far as like physical endurance, and then also mentally ready and focused, trying to get my anxiety under control.
Yeah.
Because that's something I struggled with really, really bad, more than I let them know or anybody know.
More than you let on. Yeah.
Totally. So I was just very busy on every single aspect where I didn't have time to even cook. Remember, we had to get, we got prepaid meals.
So we were also trying to lose weight.
Yeah.
Right. Because just naturally, if you're going to be on TV, you want to look better and you want to be more healthy. So we bought those meals, which I still have some in the freezer. I didn't quite like them, especially after you left.
I mean, no, it was such a big help to get those meals. They were very expensive. I think it was like $15 a damn meal. Like, let's be honest. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. It helped me lose no weight. It did nothing besides save me a lot of time.
It did.
It saved me a lot of time, and I was really happy, because normally I have to cook two meals, one for me, one for you, because we eat differently.
Mm-hmm.
And with everything going on, it was something. I didn't have to grocery shop either. It was amazing.
So how much in getting ready with the show, did you lose weight? I thought you lost weight. Didn't you lose weight?
Nah.
Didn't you tone up though? Because you were doing insanity religiously.
I did 90 days of insanity. So I was running 6 miles without even being out of breath.
Which is crazy to think.
So crazy.
Nicole was in the best shape that I've ever seen her. That was.
I was. Like, endurance wise, you might not have been able to like see, oh my God, she looks real fit. But like, I felt very comfortable in my skin. And also I could run for miles and miles. But then when I went to sequester, I was literally like, locked into a house. I couldn't, there was nowhere to really work out. I found some weights there, like a stretch band, a yoga mat, and I would like stretch for like a while. I would like kind of like jump up and down, things like that. But it was like, oh my gosh, I just went 14 days without exercise.
So we'll get to sequester and kind of that stuff here in a minute. But like even just, you know, as a normal person from the outside world, they want to know, like, how do you even pack for that show? Like, what clothes can you pick to go? Like, what is that process like? Because I know when I was here, it looked like a bomb went off in our house.
Yeah.
And there was clothes everywhere. And then when you left, it took me a long time. I ran out of hangers to hang up all your stuff. I deep cleaned the house and all that stuff. But what was it like trying to even pick out? And you were like shopping every day.
Yeah, I was. I was shopping a lot because I figured I want to go in there with a really cute style, you know, like I don't want to just wear sweats all the time. And
you did
hair.
A good job because all the time I would get messaged like, hey, where'd Nicole get that top?
Oh, really? Because I totally didn't do.
Where'd you get those pants from?
Wow, that's surprising because you go in there with this huge ambition of, okay, I'm going to look super cute. I'm going to spend all this money on these clothes because it's a tax write-off, right? So you might as well spend the money. Otherwise, you're going to be paying it.
You're going to pay it in taxes anyway.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to buy some new clothes. And where was I going with this?
Picking out your clothes.
Oh, yeah. So I don't want to look like a slob, right?
Yeah.
And it's really easy in that house to want to just like not get ready and not get dressed. So I figured, okay, I'm going to pack like cute stuff. And picking out, so there's a lot of rules to what you can wear. And you need to have like solid colors. You can't have thin stripes, thin polka dots.
Busy patterns.
No white, no black. Usually no green, but this season there's no green screen. So we were able to bring in green. So I took full advantage of that. And, you know, something that it's very difficult because you can bring in one freaking suitcase. One suitcase that's not very big. And you have to include everyday leisure wear, fancy wear for 90 some days. Okay.
Yeah. For
fancy,
like live shows,
fancy clothes for live shows,
toiletries,
athletic clothes, all your toiletries, all your skincare, anything that you like, anything you want for 90 days, they will give you like nothing.
Yeah.
So, and there's restrictions as far as even like they took away, like they'll take away like tweezers and they'll take away, like you can't have an electric toothbrush. You can't have like your nose hair trimmer. You can't have, which I didn't get in there, by the way, all the guys got them and I didn't. And like, yeah.
Nose hairs were out of control. Huh?
I'm like, I'm a female, but I still need to trim my nose hairs.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, like, thank goodness my roots don't grow out to be a different color and my hair is like naturally blonde because like you can't get hair dye. You can't get, I mean, guys have to do their own haircuts. I was shaving people's backs.
Ooh,
like,
I gotta sneeze.
Bless you. All right. Anyway, so jewelry, freaking anything, nail polish, whatever you think you're going to need for 90 days. You could only go in there for 1 week. Okay.
You have to
but
pack
you're
all
packing
that stuff.
For nine, you're packing for 3 months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, so a normal suitcase or normal luggage, when you go to fly, they want it to be 55 pounds or less, and that way you don't get charged extra, right? So how much did yours weigh?
75. It was $200 extra.
$200 extra.
They flew us first class, though, so it was supposed to be like it was supposed to be way more than $200 extra.
Oh.
$200 extra was first class rate.
Oh.
So it would have been way more. I don't even know what it was.
Oh my God, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. But I will say that the people who lived in California have a huge advantage. Yeah. Like their bags were way bigger than mine, way heavier. They were able to bring in like pretty hats and things that wouldn't get crushed in a suitcase. But if you're flying in from
big
somewhere else, oh my gosh, you cannot bring anything extra.
And so then this season was unique from other seasons, obviously, because we're in a pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. So the season kept getting pushed back. Right.
Yeah, kept getting pushed back. It was supposed to leave before my birthday, which is June 30th.
Uh-huh, exactly. And then so everything gets pushed back. And on top of that, normally you're in sequester for 1 week.
Like 6 days.
Yeah, and then now this time you're in sequester for 2 weeks. So how was that?
Oh, my gosh. By the end of it, I wanted to just, like, throw my head into the wall. I'm not joking. I was going insane. I felt like this was, everyone should be locked up in a house. I was in a very nice house. Like, I was in the nicest prison I could ever be in. Like, I had everything at my fingertips. It was a beautiful home, something that I could never even imagine staying in.
Was there a pool?
Like, huge pool, like underground, so nice. I had
hot tub. Was there a sauna?
There wasn't a sauna.
No, there was no sauna.
But I had everything.
Yeah.
It was so nice. And, but I was a caged animal. Like, I was going nuts, and the person I was with was so nice. There was no complaints there. But I was like, people keep animals in cages, which are way worse than this. Like, me being in this cage, I just want to freaking break out.
Yeah.
So I couldn't even, there was a hammock, which was really nice. I would lay on that, but I couldn't see, like, I was surrounded by trees and I couldn't see like any life.
So did you, I remember when I was, or just normal sequester, they give you movies and I had watched more movies than I had ever seen in my life. Did you watch a bunch of movies?
I watched no movies.
You watched no movies?
Maybe one movie.
But you had them at your disposal.
Because I watched Netflix.
Oh, okay.
And we were supposed to like watch Big Brother.
Got you.
And like, that's really tiring. So what I did is I studied. I freaking just used that time and I studied.
What did you study? Like what?
I thought since it was All Stars, it was going to be something like, I studied all the seasons. Who won, who got second place, who got America's Favorite, who, when did the veto first come into play? Like,
oh, just wow.
All the Big Brother history.
Which never came up on the show.
Never came up on the show. Never came up.
And at least you occupied your time though.
I did. It did take some time. I cried. Not that much. I cried a lot on the season, but in sequester, I think I cried like once or twice. Cause I would like read letters from home. We were allowed to take letters from home.
And something that they did uniquely too, is that they allowed you for the first week, I think they allowed you to call us, but they were
for like freaking 30 minutes
and they're like monitored calls. Right?
Totally.
So I can't tell you anything that I've seen on social media or anything like that, but we just get to talk.
Although some sequester managers were a lot more strict. Mine was very strict. I got no information. I think others would like not watch their FaceTime videos, like Enzo was saying on the show. Like, he was very open about it and it was funny. Like, obviously the whole world knows this was on live feeds and production notes. But like he texted his like kids and said, when you go off FaceTime, it says like you can't see them. He's like, don't say you can't see me, I'm researching. So he'd like hold it up like he's like on FaceTime, but really be researching. Like, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
But
well, I got a call from somebody in sequester, and I'll tell you off the microphone who called me.
What?
Yeah, I did. Interesting.
I don't get that.
Yeah, it's crazy. It was interesting. And I'll tell you about it later. It's a little tea to spill behind the scenes.
Oh, my God. You never even told me about this.
Well, I didn't think about it until now. It's been, what, 4 months now? Five months or whatever?
But overall, they did the best. Like, sequester was would be amazing if you were with somebody that you could, like, if you were there, and like, it'd be a vacation. They treated us like kings and queens, like limos everywhere. And they couldn't have been better to us. It's just like, oh my gosh, I felt like I was in a cage.
Is something preventing you from achieving your goals? Or is there something that's interfering with your happiness? Well, for that, there's BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can connect in a safe and private online environment, and it's so convenient. And the best part is you can start communicating in under 24 hours. And this is not self-help. It's professional counseling. You can send a message to your counselor anytime, and you'll get a timely and thoughtful response. Plus, you can schedule weekly video and or phone sessions, all without having to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room. BetterHelp has licensed professional counselors who are specialized in depression, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, and anything you share is confidential. It's professional, affordable, and it's very convenient. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. If you want to start living a happier life today, as a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/coco. Join 1 million, over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Coco.
So for today, we'll skip through the actual Big Brother stuff, right? That's something that we really want to get into next week. Like, maybe rumors or stuff that was swirling around that you maybe want to clear up or talk about. We'll talk about that next week.
Okay.
Today, what I want to talk about was you coming off the show.
Okay.
And having to adjust back to real life, things that you miss, wedding stuff. Like, what was that like? Like, I know you've done it before.
Yeah.
But this is a little bit different, right? Because we were planning our wedding.
Yeah, this season was absolutely different from anything I've ever experienced in the Big Brother world. If this was my first experience, I would have never freaking went back. I almost just said the F word. Like, that's how serious. It was hell. And so coming out of hell was, coming out and trying to just, it took me till day, like, what did I win on day I don't even remember now, like 60 some. I finally got a letter from home.
Oh, when you won the HOH.
Right. Knowing even if my wedding was still on because of the pandemic.
I remember you talking about that. And in my mind, I was like, well, yeah, but I guess she doesn't know.
Yeah. Anyway, so coming out was, it was a lot. I think coming out as third place, you come out as third place as if you were like first, second, and third all come out pretty much the same. And it was really difficult coming out like that because I was processing everything on live television. I wasn't able to go hide in a room like everyone else does. Normally you get an interview with Julie and you can just kind of like do your thing.
And you go to jury.
And then you go, they lock you up for the night and you can just cry and drink wine. Like, but I was on the freaking screen and my best ally just stabbed me in the back. So it was a lot to process. So coming out, I was not only processing that, but trying to figure out what was going on in the real world. I was very scared, like, to just like step foot out there because when I went in, I knew times were just like crazy out
uncertain
here. totally. And so when they told me that Victor's in town,
because I
was crying. I was just like, get me the F out of here.
I had been planning that for, I was in like contact with like Sean and CBS and like, hey, I'm going to be over there and I'm going to need to, at first I wanted to stay wherever you were staying. And I was like, well, I'll pay for the first night and then whatever you guys have set up. And they're like, well, this is a secure location because of COVID.
Totally.
But if you get your own place, you know, we'll send her to your place.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is perfect. And then I set it up that way. And then
I think they told me, before my interviews or maybe right after my interviews, because I was just like ugly crying. Cause I was so heartbroken from just getting evicted. Like I just, and they wanted to tell me like something good.
Yeah. And I didn't know what to expect to either, because I got a text from Robin saying, you know, hey, I just talked to Nicole. She's having a hard time, but I got her to be, you know, I got her to laugh and so she's looking forward, you know, she's in a little bit better mood when I left talking to her opposed to when I started talking to her.
Yeah.
You know, and no, I was like, ooh, I don't know what, you know, how this is going to go. I was nervous. I'm not going to lie. I was really nervous.
Yeah, for sure.
And excited though. At the same time, it's like, how am I going to navigate this? But at the same time, damn, I haven't seen her in like 4 months.
Yeah. And you know, what's crazy is I heard from people in the house who had significant others that it was awkward. That it would be awkward, that it's awkward and things change forever and...
Like after the fact?
Yeah.
You heard from them after the fact?
No, I heard during the house. So I was not like that. I thought that things would... I was just like, God, the last thing I want is like to come out in the real world and the one person that like...
Like we have a problem.
Like...
yeah, like, I get what you're
like,
saying.
Oh my God, it's awkward because like we you know, because we've just been locked up in the house for how long? So there was no awkwardness at all.
Not at all.
Oh, my God.
Well, you tried to... The thing, it's kind of backwards and hilarious. Nicole tried to surprise me by not telling me when she left the lot and was coming to the room. But I was monitoring Nicole's location because we share each other's location because I wanted to be ready for her to come there because the show ended and she didn't get to the room or leave the lot
for like three
or 4 hours after. So I, like around the 3 hour mark, I started checking to see if her phone was coming live and I was like, what the heck is taking so long? Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, I'm in the road and then Nicole in the car is like...
I was like, she's like, is this... Because I didn't know where I was going. It was like an Airbnb and the driver is like... Is this it? Is this, there's a guy on the street? I was like, oh my God, no, do not drop me off by the guy on the street. Like, it's not the guy on the street. I don't know who that guy is. And it was Victor. I was just thinking like, how did he know that I was coming? But anyways, he tracked me, which was smart.
And I try to be as nice as I could. I got balloons, right? That said, welcome home. But I inadvertently got like balloons that are like a gender
reveal
type.
Baby pink, baby blue, and yellow, like all over the room. But it was really cute. I was like, oh, okay, are you pregnant?
And then I didn't know what she wanted to eat. So I got her a bunch of different types of food.
It was really sweet.
Some snacks. And then I got her a bottle of wine. But ironically enough, I almost didn't buy it because normally Nicole doesn't drink wine.
Oh, did I drink that night?
She was asking for another bottle.
Yeah. And I didn't sleep the entire night.
You didn't sleep. She kept waking me up. I mean, yeah, you didn't sleep the whole night. I had to force you to go to sleep.
And I started watching that new chess show. There's so much stimulation. So then when I won on 18, I didn't sleep. And I thought, oh, it's because I won. Mm-hmm. No. It's because you're just coming out of the house and there's just too much going on. Like, you're free and you can have a freaking remote and you can get wine when you want to get wine.
You have your phone and people don't understand 3 months worth of
being just so restricted.
And you get messages or you have all these messages on your phone and all this stuff coming in and people that are trying to talk to you. And it's just like, you want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
Right. So all that stimulation is overstimulation and doesn't let you sleep. I remember I told you, Nicole, that when I got off at 18, I had to take a medication to go to sleep because it had been 24 hours and I hadn't slept.
And I think it almost went 2 days where I didn't sleep. Remember, I said to you, oh my God, what if I never sleep again?
Yeah.
Like, it's a concern of mine. Like, I've been up for 48 hours and I feel fine. What if I never sleep again?
And I think on that third or fourth day, you slept like
all day.
All day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You slept like a long.
Well, also in the house, this season was different for me because we weren't allowed to take naps. It was very weird.
Yeah, that is strange.
And so, like,
no naps at all.
No naps at all. They would freaking come over the thing and say, no napping.
We would see Enzo napping, but probably because he had his sunglasses.
Oh, they would let some people nap.
They just didn't let you nap.
Sometimes they did. And I'd be like, when I woke up, I'd be like, thank you. Uh-huh. But, it's just so funny because you'll sit there and you'll feel guilty and you have your eyes closed and you have your sunglasses on. And then they'll say, house guests must be awake from 10 a.m. till 10 p.m. And I'll say, Enzo's sleeping. Like, Enzo's been sleeping for 4 hours. Why are you yelling at me? I'm pissed. Or whoever it was. Because, like, I swear it was just like, I'm like, oh, am I the entertainment? You want me up? Okay, I'll get up. Like, I was just annoyed because I just wanted to freaking take a nap sometimes because you don't want to go to bed right at 10. So you'll stay up till 1. And then sometimes they wake you up at like 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. And it's just not enough sleep. How much your body goes through in there, like, if you just don't get restful sleep at all. You're not comfortable ever.
When you got out, were you cognizant of not having a mic pack on?
I've never, when I come out, for some reason, the mic pack is never a freaking issue for me.
Oh, it's not.
By the end of the show, like, I was leaving my mic all over the place because I just, I just knew that there was no game talk going on or no anything, and I would just, like, leave it. It's not a big deal for me for some reason.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So what was one of the things that surprised you the most coming out of the show to your real life, right?
I guess I thought the world would be in a lot better place with the pandemic.
Oh, okay. You thought it would, like, have died down over the course of those three and some odd months.
Yeah, and the reason that I thought that was because, like, from the beginning of the season, we would watch flights and there was, like, maybe 2 flights a day. And then by the end of the season, there was, like, a flight flying out from Burbank every 5 minutes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then we also heard, like, crowds and cheering. It sounded like at, you know, sporting events. So I was like, oh my God, there's big crowds going on.
Gotcha.
And then we would hear, like, people working in the lot.
Oh, and you're talking about the flights. You would, sitting in the backyard, you're hearing and seeing the flights
go. So I'm
go.
Like, oh, okay. There's more flights, more, the world is better.
Yeah.
And then also, like, the setup and teardown of competitions got extremely quicker. Like, it was much quicker.
Like, there was more people hands-on.
It seemed like they were able to hire more staff. And so that was just something, I think, that we put into our head. And so coming out and knowing that it's not better sucked.
Yeah.
And I was shocked about that because it was going to be exciting to come out and be able to be around more people. And I was like, oh, my God, my wedding's going to be on for sure and all that. So I think that that's probably the most shocking thing.
And we'll get to the wedding stuff in a second. But first, I want to talk about the cats. The cats in the backyard. My new cat, which is now our new cat, right? What name did you give the kitty?
Twix.
Twix. Okay. So Twix was here, and no other cats were here.
Twix was really little, though, when you told me in sequester you had a kitten, and, like, she was, like, what?
She was a baby. She was, like, it took me a long time for her to even let me get close to her or even see her.
Oh, wow.
We'd play hide and seek all the time because I'd go out there and she'd just dart, and then I'd just put food out there, and then she, you know, she would eat it. Mm-hmm. And then the other cats slowly disappeared.
Right. I know. Like, I'm not surprised.
And but now all the cats are back, pretty much.
Mm.
Pretty much. I mean, you've seen all of them.
I've seen them. They're alive.
You've seen all of them. They're all alive. But tell them what you think may or may not have happened.
Okay, so Victor is at work the other night, and I hear... So I'm very... I'm obsessed with taking care of animals, okay?
Yeah, so Nicole, to put it in perspective, she goes out and out the back door where the cat is probably about...
40 times a day.
Yeah, probably about 40 times a day just to go look. And it drives me insane.
I know.
It drives me through the
roof. So this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get my cats back, A. B, I'm trying to feed all the cats that are starving because...
Nicole's a cat lady.
No, I'm not. I'm just an animal person. And I'm trying to feed them because they're hungry. They trust me. For something, whatever reason it is, I'm a cat whisperer. And that's my super secret power. Like, they are obsessed with me. So let's just say, like, for example, it took Victor a really long time to get, like, warm to this cat. It took me 12 hours before.
No.
Let me,
Let me say this.
We're not going to agree on this.
I'll tell you exactly why she's more comfortable just around humans in general now. Because she's been interacting with me.
But if she had to choose me or you, she'd choose me.
Because I'm not out there as much. Because I let you take over.
Anyways, I'm just going to say, though, that any cat that you think you can't touch, like, it'll come circling my legs in, like, 5 seconds. I'm like, oh, my God. They talk. They tell each other, like, this woman has the best food, and she's the nicest, and she will not hurt you. Like, I know they talk. Because, like, once I feed one, I have four more, and they're just sitting there, like, smiling.
Yeah, all the cats are on a group message,
and they let each other
know what's going on.
So I go out there and just check on them, and I'm trying to make sure, oh, my God, are you hungry? Are you hungry? I have, like, a bunch more cats that I never had now. And so
because Twix has a friend now.
Yeah, Twix does.
And we think it's Polly. If you guys remember Polly, the cat that we rescued, saved back to life, and then we gave to Nicole's best friend, Mariah. We think that there's a cat back here that's the same size as Polly. Same color.
It's Polly's sibling for sure.
We think it's Polly's sibling and it's friends with Twix.
Yeah, so cute. Mm-hmm. They're both little.
And it's actually more friendly than Twix.
It is. Yeah, which
oddly.
Is so weird.
And it has a collar. So I don't know if if it's like an outside cat at somebody else's house that goes inside or something.
It's starving all the time. I think it's someone just put a cat. They put a thing on it that says bear cat. So we're the bear cats here.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's over here. I steal people's cats too, I guess, because they just want to be here.
But don't say you steal people's cats because Nicole doesn't physically steal people's cats. People's cats just show up here.
People don't really think that I steal their cats.
I'm just saying the cats show up here.
They show up here. I can't help it.
Yeah. All right. So continue.
So one night I go out there and I'm like, oh my gosh, sometimes I can hear like, when cats are hungry,
they're
rummaging with the cans. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're rummaging. I'm like, oh gosh, it's empty. I got to go feed another cat. It's a freaking possum and it's big. I scream. I immediately grab Twix. Twix is sitting there like, this is not a big deal.
I'm telling you, this outside feral cat that's been surviving outside
this
whole life.
This possum is ginormous. It's got hands like mine. It's disgusting.
I'd say if I had a guess, maybe like 15 pounds, 10 to 15 pounds.
Oh, probably more than, probably 25 pounds.
25 pounds, you think?
It's huge. Okay, so then I grab Twix and I lock it in our bathroom. I bring her in the house. I lock her in the bathroom.
A feral cat, outside stray cat. She puts it
because
in our house.
I didn't know possums and cats got along, okay? Mm-hmm.
So, and then she calls me.
I call him. I'm like,
in a frantic.
Oh my God, get over here now. There's a giant possum. It's hiding in our garage. Like, you need to get this thing
and
out.
And I'm at work and Nicole's like, where are you? And I happen to be just like 15 minutes away. And I'm like, okay. So
he comes and he doesn't find the possum. And I think he thinks I'm like lying about it.
Okay? I think Nicole's crazy.
He thinks I'm crazy. So then the next day, I put Twix back out there.
That night.
And then the next day...
Because I tell Nicole, I look online and I tell her, possums
and
cats, they're not enemies.
Yeah,
they're
I made sure.
They're not predators of each other, so they don't fight or anything.
Okay, so then the next day, it comes back. And this thing is like, you guys, it's huge. Its hands are like seriously huge. And it's drinking water. It's eating cat food.
It's hanging out.
It's very comfortable.
And she takes a picture of it and she sends it to me. She's like, I told you so.
Yep. So then I realize, okay, I don't like this. I don't like this. I think that this possum is scaring away the cats a little bit.
And she also thinks that I've been feeding this possum all summer without knowing it because I just leave food out there.
Yeah, so I think, this is what I think, this thing is so freaking fat and it's so comfortable in our garage. Like, I turn the lights on, it's not phased. I don't know, can they see like the light and stuff?
Yeah.
It's not phased. Twix is just sitting there like, yeah, this guy comes over every night. And so basically, Victor has been feeding this possum every night and not feeding the cats.
You know,
so that's
what?
Why we don't have cats anymore.
You know what? It's because I don't discriminate against animals. It could be a possum. It could be a pheasant. It could be a bunny, which we have a bunny. And every day that I come home from work at 3 a.m, there's a bunny in our front yard. So we're feeding him something too.
Well, that's good.
We're feeding every animal in the whole neighborhood. I'll
so then
that.
What I decide to do is I just say, okay, I don't want to take care of these possums through the winter. Like I don't want them in my, I don't. They have to go to, we live in town.
Mm-hmm.
They deserve to live off of something other than cat food. So let's catch them.
Mm-hmm.
So last night I set like this trap.
Yep.
And it's not a harmful trap. It's an alive trap.
It's literally like it's like in the movies where they walk into a box and the back closes. That's all it is.
So I put like cat food in there and
she caught one beefy one.
I caught a big one. And so then I call my dad and we go and take it to
like a couple miles out of town.
Like the woods.
Yep.
And then
release it to the wild.
Release it to the wild and it looked really happy. It played dead. Like it didn't like, it ran and scurried off, but it didn't like hiss or anything. It looked like a very friendly possum. Like possums are not that scary, but it was huge.
Except when they hiss at you and they open their mouth and they got these fangs.
It didn't hiss at all. And then, so then I was like, okay, you know what? I was like, Dad, I think there could be another one. Let's like I'm going to set the trap again. And literally in an hour, I caught the ginormous one.
She caught a second possum.
In like 3 hours. And then we also released that one in the same spot. And they went to the same spot. So they'll be reunited. So tonight I'm going to have to set it one more time. Because like, what if there's like 15 possums?
Nicole is now a trapper.
Yeah. But it's better for me. It's better for them. They really shouldn't be like living in town. I don't even know where they're actually hiding. They're probably hiding in somebody's shed or.
I haven't seen this many wild animals since I lived in like Central America and Panama, where we were in literally in the jungle.
Wait till we live in the country.
I mean, I'm telling you, I've even seen deer in our front yard.
Yeah.
Like,
and we live in town. It's
and
crazy.
The dogs almost ran after the deer one night when I took them out. Like, it's like that. It's crazy. It's so bizarre. I mean, so.
But anyways, that's the story. So he took care of possums all summer instead of cats.
Well, you know what? And I'm proud of myself because they had somewhere to eat, you know? They had friends. What if the cat and the possums were friends?
So this is the thing, too, that kind of like blows my mind is that Victor fed these things for 3 months and didn't notice. And I'm home for less than a week and I found them,
because,
I caught them, and I released them to a better place.
Because
you're not going outside and checking
I'm
on
not
stuff.
Going, I don't have to go outside like 40 times a day.
But you should, because what if we had like a kid and then they went outside to go grab something out of the garage and then a possum
Nicole,
bites them?
If we had a kid, I'd be more worried about our kid. I wouldn't be worried about, you know what I mean? Like, of course I'd be on top of things with our kid.
Oh, whatever.
Anyway.
We have little puppies that are like kids too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, so what else do you want to talk about?
The
that
wedding.
Was a long possum story.
That was it was a good, I think it was interesting. I don't think people experience stuff like that all the time. So now the wedding. So
the wedding.
What happened with the wedding? What was the plan?
So we were supposed to get married in Turks and Caicos in December 9th.
Mm-hmm.
And
you got out of the show and you got bombarded with all types of things that you had to do. And
yeah,
get
yeah,
ready
yeah.
For
and it was great. It was great
stuff.
Distraction.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
So we got.
And that was happening for the last 2-3 weeks.
Totally.
Yeah.
I haven't been home for 3 weeks, but.
You haven't? Yeah,
have. No, I haven't.
Yes, you have.
No, I haven't.
Let's check the dates.
Go
so
ahead.
What was the finale night?
The finale night was the 28th.
28th?
Yeah, it's only the 11th.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
You've only been home for 2 weeks?
Yeah, I've got a lot of crap done.
Gosh, you seem like you've been here an eternity.
That's not good.
God, you've been here forever. All right, so 2 weeks, and you hit the ground running literally
yeah, it was really
like
fun.
Within
and I
the
had
weekend that you got back.
I had to fix everything that Victor did terrible. Like, his style is hideous.
Okay, Nicole. Now Nicole just wants to dump on me.
No. His tuxes that he picked. Okay, seriously. SOS.
Okay.
Oh, Save our ship.
Yeah. let's, you know, not talking about Big Brother much, but they had a whole discussion on the show about SOS. And what did you guys...
Did that make the show?
I saw it on live feeds. But what did you guys think SOS stood for? I don't even think you guys said...
Signal on something.
No, it was so bad. Save our ship. SOS, yeah, save our ship. I get it now.
So Victor did some pretty goofy things with, you know...
Just the tux.
No, there was another thing.
I didn't do anything else besides the tux and the...
And your tux was bad too.
The groomsman and my tux. Yeah. Yeah.
That's it? So he did nothing while I was
See, Nicole says that, but I wasn't asked to do anything. Like, if somebody comes up to me and says, hey, nobody came up to me and asked me about decorations or flowers. Like, why
or
would they come up?
No.
Nobody came up to me and asked me that stuff. So she's like, you didn't do anything. And I'm like, well, nobody asked me to do anything.
He didn't do anything while I was gone.
Oh, you know what I did do, though?
What?
That the mess of a closet that we had, stuff over there, that was great. The office, the bathroom. I've never seen that tub so white in my life.
I agree.
I went in on
he
this
cleaned.
House.
He did. He cleaned real well. But as far as the wedding goes, he did nothing. And that's fine because it just kept me busy when I got home.
You got asked all the questions that I didn't get asked. So.
I see.
So what happened?
Okay, so we just found out that the resort's not opening. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, so we're rescheduling, or postponing. We're postponing to the spring, and we're going to keep everything the same.
Yeah.
And we're really excited about it.
Yeah, it was just crazy because Nicole, you know, putting in all this work for the last 2 weeks, essentially, and then all of a sudden, boom, we gotta postpone
This is our third time we've had to postpone a wedding, our wedding. And so, like, 2020, we just decided maybe we should not get married in 2020 because 2020 has been hell.
They kicked us in the nuts and Nicole in the crotch. Yeah, 2020 has been bad, but it's been bad for everybody. So, regrettably, it's just been a bad year.
So
right?
I'm just like, we don't have a choice, so we're rescheduling.
And how does that?
At first, I was really devastated, because we want to start our family. But the more people I talked to, we got such supportive people surrounding us, and it feels so good. And everyone's like, this could be a blessing in disguise, and I really do see it that way.
Yeah,
because not only. Maybe COVID will be in a much better place. Maybe more people will feel safe coming. And
it also happens to be less expensive for our guests.
Less expensive, you know? Because December was the most popular month to go to Turks and Caicos. And so in the spring, it's cheaper.
Yeah.
And I think there was like a rumor going around about people paying to come to our wedding, which is absolutely effing absurd.
Well, so they pay for their flight and their stay, but it's not... I think the rumor was...
No, people say...
Everybody's paying for our wedding, which is not true.
Right.
Right. So we
Absolutely
still have to...
not.
Yeah. We still have to put money into the wedding.
Oh, there's we put a ton of money into the wedding.
Thousands and thousands of dollars are going into our wedding.
Yeah,
right?
Tens of thousands of dollars.
Which is not something that our guests are paying. So, that doesn't make any sense. So whoever started that rumor, obviously I know who it was, but that was just stupid and petty. To do.
But it's even worse for the people who believe that. Like, give me a break.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you've ever been to a destination wedding, you pay for your flight and you pay for your hotel.
Yeah, exactly. That if you go to any wedding that you're not from that area, if you fly to another state, your hotel's not paid for and your flight's not paid for.
Very true.
You know what I mean? So
very true. And we just happened to pick a very bougie place to get married, I guess. And so... Yeah. I mean,
and it's all inclusive.
It's all inclusive, but it's also like
Mexico
weddings. That one that we're going to is just as expensive. It's all about. But guess what? It'll be. Much
it's a vacation. It's nice. It's a good time. It's.
We don't need to defend it. I'm just saying that's absolutely absurd, and people will believe anything, and it's quite pathetic.
Oh yeah, you can put anything out on Twitter nowadays, and you'll have. A lot of people believe it, and a lot of people fight to tell you that it's not right. So you can never win on Twitter.
I just wanted to clear that up, though. Like, absurd.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so anything else?
So I don't know. I just kind of wanted to get in your headspace about just coming back out to the real world and mm-hmm. interacting with your friends and family again. And like, did you feel like you missed out on anything, or did you feel?
So my brain is in the whole realm of, I feel like this is exactly, I feel like I never left.
Oh, okay.
I feel like I never left. I don't feel like I missed anything.
Well, that's good. That means
I've repressed all of the Big Brother season.
Just push it down. Just absolutely. It's, deep down.
It's in my toes. It's, and yeah. So I'm doing really well because
I will give it to you. You are. Mm-hmm. You are. You're handling everything.
I'm much stronger than people know. And I'm not strong until I have to be strong. Like, mm-hmm. how do you think I'm handling it? Because I feel like I could never have imagined how well I'm handling this.
I think before this season, mm-hmm. I think you would have had a tougher time dealing with this. Let's say all this wedding stuff happened before the season happened.
Yeah.
Or, you know, all these hiccups that we've had.
Yeah.
I think you would have had a harder time dealing with it. Coming out this season and going through the things that you've had to go through has made you stronger as a person.
I am so strong.
And you are handling it really well. Everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're handling everything really well.
That's one thing I think that Big Brother does do is it changes you every time you play. And this time, I came out stronger than I think I ever could imagine that I could ever be in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm also more vocal. I'm straight up. I'm honest. And I'm not backing down from anything. And so it's changed me, and I think it's for the better, and I think it's going to fuel me to do what I'm supposed to do in this world.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that I'm handling everything with a smile on my damn face, and I don't know how I'm doing it, but I'm doing it, and it feels good.
And again, that's something, and to allude to more things aside from the wedding that Nicole has had to come out to, mm-hmm. That's something we'll talk about next week. And we'll clear up some of those things, some, you know, a lot of things that Nicole wants to talk about that we're not going to talk about this week. We're going to talk about next week, stuff that the fans want to hear, our listeners want to hear. So next week is going to be a great episode. So don't forget to tune into that. I do want to do something that we haven't done in a while is the Spanish word of the day.
Okay.
All right. So Spanish word of the day. Cambiar.
Ooh, say it again.
Cambiar.
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 Mm-hmm. Cambiar.
Cambiar. Television?
No, that's televisión.
Oh, that's easy.
Cambiar. You were just talking about it.
Wedding? Celebration?
No, you were
strong.
Just talking about it, yeah. Change.
Change. Oh,
change.
My gosh.
It's changed you. Te cambió.
Yeah.
Te cambió.
Yep.
Do you have a weird or normal?
Let me think for like 5 seconds.
Is it weird or normal? Here we go.
Oh, God.
Is it weird? Oh, wait, wait. We haven't done this in a while either. Weird.
Or.
Normal. Michael Scott. Is it weird or normal to put Italian dressing on your pasta
please.
As a meal?
Okay, so this is all very misconstrued. This is exactly why people suck and the internet's just insane. It's spaghetti salad, and I'm going to do a Midwest Monday on it. It's cold. It's not hot, and it's very good. Have you never had spaghetti salad? Like, I don't understand. Like,
So this is normal?
It's very normal.
It's normal. Okay.
Every single graduation party you go to has spaghetti salad.
So what does spaghetti salad consist of?
I'm so annoyed with you.
What? You know, it was a thing, right? It was a thing. It got brought up and it was funny. So might as well make light of it, right?
So there's two different, I had to work with, let's remember this. We get the same damn thing in the house every single week. Mm-hmm. You don't get, I want this or I want that. You mm-hmm. get the same thing. So I had to come.
Which
I
is consisted of a list of items that all the house guests put together. So they kind of like put the average median of every.
No, they do not.
Yeah. Don't they? They ask everybody what they normally eat.
No. It's all three seasons we've had the same grocery list.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Hmm. Unless so why do they even ask us what we want to eat?
Unless you have a beef issue in HOH.
Mm. No, like just normal foods. Unless you have a special diet like Tyler where he was vegan or whatever.
Yeah, like then they will give you tofu.
Okay, gotcha.
Which we got tofu on 16 mm-hmm. too. Anyways, it's been the same grocery list since 6 years ago for me.
Okay.
And so I had to work with what I got.
Mm-hmm.
Spaghetti noodles, Italian dressing, which is the wishbone kind, which is actually pretty dang good. And then, so you boil the noodles, they're cold. You make sure they're cold. You dry the noodles out. You add the dressing. You can add black olives. You can add cheese chunks, but not if you're vegan. You can add peppers. You can add onion. You can add tomato. You can have cucumber.
And none of that's cooked. All that's
none of
raw.
It's cooked. It's raw. Okay. And then you just mix it. And then, but if you're at home, you can add salad supreme and you can get a where you have the pasta noodles that are like, the green, the red, and the white,
the rotini.
But I had to work with what I have, people, and it still tasted amazing. And do you know that I think Memphis liked it, right? He asked me to make it, and he owns very bougie restaurants. So if he's approved and asked me to make it again, that is a very big compliment because, I mean, no one else owns restaurants in there.
Yeah.
Everyone else is eating a quesadilla with a tortilla and cheese in the microwave, okay?
Yeah.
I'm working with bougie Memphis. He liked it. So.
Well, there you go. You see? You got that out. That's fine. That's good. I just had to ask it. I mean, I couldn't think of any other weird or normal, and that just came to mind. Like,
but I think if people thought it was hot, that's absolutely weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I actually don't even remember what people said. I just saw something, a quick blurb about your pasta salad.
I mean, people are nuts.
People are nuts.
I'm nuts as well. So.
We're all a little bit crazy, and that's okay. But thank you guys so much for joining us on our first episode back.
Yeah, it was nice to get back in the swing of things with this.
Was it natural? Did it feel natural?
Oh, so easy.
Right?
So easy. I'm a natural born
podcaster,
entertainer,
narrator, entertainer, talker.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, that's good.
All of it.
Well, we're going to be back next week and every week thereafter. So mm-hmm. thank you guys. Please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. The easiest way to do that is on the little purple app on your iPhone or just go to Apple Podcasts and you can do it there. Don't forget to follow us at Coco Caliente Pod on
Twitter
and at Coco Caliente Podcast on
Instagram.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
Thank you.